We're going to introduce our speaker now. When I asked him how he wanted to be introduced, he goes, "Hi, I'm Brother Chad Ritchie. You can call me Brother Ritchie. You can call me Chad. I don't care." So he has 5 kids. 3 of them are in the youth, so I'm sure he knows what he's talking about when he comes to us. So let's remember him on our prayers, and he's from Oregon.
Okay, well, I asked her to wire me up or somebody to wire me up because I'm kind of that guy that can't sit still. And then my mind stops working, so bear with me here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
How long do I have?
You have till, let's say, 10 till. You need it.
Okay, well, tell me when we get close.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'm Chad Ritchie, and I was not born in the church. I probably will cry because that's who I am.
All right.
Haven't even started yet. But God is good.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I was raised in a home for 36 years. My parents were married and got divorced when I was in my 20s. And thank you. And that was tough. But I had a couple events in my life that changed my life, and I had an individual that played a very important part in my salvation. And I worked at a body shop, and I still do that for a living, but don't work at the same shop. And the tears will stop here in a minute. Just let me work through it. And God is good. We worked together for 14 years in the body shop. And that's where I started my career in 2000. And didn't know what I was doing. And there's an individual that started. See, I started January 1st of 2000. And always wanted to work on cars. I knew that probably in middle school. I wasn't a big guy that wanted to go to school. I didn't like to read. If I could skip a class, it'd be English. You give me a metal shop, I'd pass it no problem. I knew at a very young age that I was going to be gifted with my hands, and so that's what I went after. But when I was younger, I'm going to go backwards a little bit, and then I do have some scriptures. I'm not going to just talk about me, but when I was a little boy, probably about 5, 6, 7, 8, I remember laying in bed, and I would think, "Man, is there something bigger than me?" Right? And I just remember thinking, there's got to be something bigger than just me. There's got to be a plan or some kind of a blueprint. And then I thought, well, what happens when we die? Right? These are thoughts as an 8-year-old, 9-year-old thinking, huh? Again, I wasn't raised in a religious home. I was raised, we went to church when somebody died, somebody got married, and that was about it. Most of my family were Lutheran, but my mom and dad didn't take me to church. In fact, most of the time, my dad drank. And, I think my childhood was decent, but it wasn't a Christian home. And I just remember thinking that. And so let's fast forward into my 20s. And maybe I do have to say this. I was invited to church as a young man once. Once. And it was odd to me. I didn't understand it. Looking back, I don't think it was truth. And so fast forward into my 20s, and I worked at this body shop. I told you my tears will calm down. Thank you for your patience. And I worked at this body shop, and I had a young man there. And I started in January 2nd of 2000. And then my friend started in June of 2000. Of course, I didn't know him, knew nothing about him. And he was the pastor's son. I didn't know that at the time. I had no clue. So days, months, years went by, but I watched him. I watched him. He'd get there in the morning, real early. And man, I tell you, you want to talk about somebody who knows how to work. He worked, and he worked, and he worked, and he worked, and he worked. And he knew how to do it. I mean, he was gifted. And I learned a lot from him. And he put cars together, and how in the world does he do that? And I watched. But I wasn't interested in going to church. I knew a little bit about him, and I used to use this word prosecute when I meant persecute back in the day. And the Church of God from our town knows that I used to, when I first started testifying, I used the wrong word. But they knew what I meant from my heart. And so I thought, I'm never going to church. I'm never going to church. That's never going to happen, man. That's not going to happen. And so I ran in with my buddies, man. I had a good old time. And I was living in sin. I mean, it's just the bottom line. I was having fun, but it was for a season. And so I was invited probably, I don't know how many years it was, Ronnie and probably worked together for, I don't know, maybe eight years or so. I don't remember exactly how many years. But they were holding a meeting, and they said, you want to come to church? And they had asked me a bunch of times, and I was running around with another guy that worked there, and I wasn't interested. We were riding dirt bikes and having a good time, and I didn't have any kids at the time. And so they invited me one time, and just before that, I had this crazy German Shepherd. I know you guys don't think this story is silly, but, you know, God can use anything to get a hold of somebody. I had this crazy German Shepherd, and he was my dog, right? And I had to put him to sleep, and it kind of reminded me of those memories as a child, right? I'm sure all of us have had kind of heartbroken, maybe it's an animal or a loved one, whatever. And so I remember taking that dog, and its hips were bad. It's a German Shepherd, and it's most of the time in my life, that's what we had. And I remember taking him to the vet. I remember the vet's like, the best thing you can do with that dog is put him down. I'm like, ah, right? It's not easy. So anyways, I took him there, and I was by myself. I told my dad, I'll go. And I think my dad and my brother ended up going. And I put him down, and I just remember sitting there going, man, this is odd. There's got to be something greater than this. But somebody had come along and planted the seed. I didn't know. So I went to, I've sat down at night, and I've watched this minister on television Sunday night, and he'd say, you know, hey, just pray this prayer, and you'll be fine. And again, I wasn't educated. I didn't know. I was illiterate. I watched this guy, and I'd say, okay, I say the same prayer. And I think, like, deep down inside, I had somewhat of a desire, but I didn't know what to do with it. So I prayed the prayer for a while, but Monday I go back to work, and I'd still be the same man. And I had this conflict inside, and again, not knowing any of the Word of God, not understanding any of it, but I knew there was a conflict there, because here I had a young man that was next to me that didn't go around and, oh, look at me, I'm a Christian. But I knew there was something different. He didn't go up to the lunchroom and hang out with the guys and cuss and go out and drink and party and all those things. He was separate, and I watched. But I was involved. I was weak, and I was involved with that. And so I decided one night, he said, you want to go to church? I think it was him. To kind of connect some dots, it's probably hard to do since you don't know everybody, but Chris Wakefield's part of our church. Chris was an estimator at the body shop. And Ronnie's sister was a secretary. And Ronnie is Candy's husband. He is a body man. And Ronnie and I are about 6 months apart in age. And so I didn't have a real close relationship with Chris, but I knew Chris very well. And I knew Doreen a little bit, but Ronnie was the guy I focused on. So anyways, I'm going to fast forward. I went to church one night, and it was unbelievable. I wasn't sure what to think. I knew that it was odd to me. But watching a little television and seeing all those things, I kind of like what I hear. It's intriguing to me. And so I went a couple different times. I think I went by the Sunday nights for a while. I remember asking the pastor, hey, I talked to you, and I'd like to get saved, but I'm going to cry. And I was raised in a home where my dad didn't cry. And I'm the opposite of that. I must have inherited that from my mother, because she can cry at a drop of a hat. But, you know, when God changes a man's heart and softens it, it's not real hard to cry. It's not real hard. When you're humble, it's not real hard to cry. You realize what God's done for you, it's not hard. So I told him I'd get saved, but I'll cry. So I went back a couple times later, and I don't remember what night it was. It may have been a Sunday night. my mom and dad had got divorced, and I think we might have bought their house, and they both separated. It was tough, but it wasn't the end of the world. Luckily, I was older. I kind of understood how it worked. And my oldest boy there was about 6 months old, so that's my first child. And Brother Watson from Tennessee was holding a revival. And again, our brother here said last night, I don't remember what he said, but I do remember one scripture, and for some reason, you know, maybe the understanding was very illiterate at the time, but he said, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," right? It's in Revelation, I think it's 3:20. And I remember standing there, we had an altar call. And keep in mind, I don't know anything. I don't know what's an altar call. And so I stood there and we had an altar call. And I, only way I can explain it is I felt like I was chained to the floor. I could not move. I don't know if it was guilt, if it was something that I needed to let go of, if it was just all my sins. But I just stood there and I thought, man, I can't go up there. This is weird. This is embarrassing, right? We're young. We think, oh, what do people think about us? What are they going to? How are they going to judge me? You know, they're going to judge me. They're going to think something funny of me, or you know, what if I walk with a limp? Oh, they're going to judge me, or what if I'm this, or what if I'm too short, or what if I'm all these different things? It stopped me. It stopped me. But God wasn't done. That's the great thing. So I sat there. I did not move, and I just refused to move. But I was tender inside. I wanted it bad. So I remember leaving church, getting in my car, driving home, and man, I'm like, what in the world is going on? I went home, I couldn't sleep. And I knew, and I was willing to accept that Christ died for my sins, and I could own the fact that I was a sinner, and that I transgressed God. I could own that. No problem. You know, my dad always taught us that there's a time and an age where you gotta, and I kind of paraphrase, this is my phrase, I use this all the time, there's a time to grow up and you gotta put on your big boy pants and tighten your belt. My dad used to say that growing up, and I say it all the time. You gotta grow up, you gotta put on your big boy pants, and you gotta get after it. And I realized right then and there that I was broken. And I was grateful. So I drove home and I couldn't sleep. I could not sleep at all. I laid in that bed and I tossed and turned. And I was under conviction, at home, in my bed. What in the world is going on? So I might have fallen asleep maybe an hour or two. I got up the next morning. I knew something was different. Because I had asked God to come into my life, right? I wanted it bad. And I needed it. And so I sat there and I got up the next morning and my parents had this staircase. It was by the front door when I got up, and my wife was in the kitchen, and I sat down on the stairs. I began to cry. I began to weep. I said, what in the world have I done? Right? I wasn't in church. I had gone to church. I got a teeny bit of sliver of understanding. My wife comes in. She said, are you okay? And I knew something had happened. What it was, I couldn't explain it. And so I said to my wife, no, I'm not okay. I'm not okay, and I'll tell you why. I've done wrong. I've done wrong. The things that we used to do, I can't do those things anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm done. She said, are you okay? Do you need to go to the hospital? No, I don't need to go to the hospital. It's very clear to me that I don't want to live that life.
Right.
And so I went to, I got in my car and I left. And I remember driving to work. You know, here I did all this study and I got scripture after scripture and I'm going to burn my time up testifying to you. But I remember driving to work and my skies were blue. It could have been raining and thunderstorm. I don't even remember. But I just remember everything was a lot brighter and a lot prettier to me. So I went to work, and here comes Chris, and I'm excited. Something inside of me is like lit. And I go up and I say to this brother, hey, I said, I went to church last night, and I have no clue what happened. I don't know what happened, but something's different. And he said, brother, the Holy Spirit visited you. I said, the what? He said, the Holy Spirit visited you. Again, I wasn't raised in religion. I didn't know anything about it. And now looking back, I am so grateful in a lot of regards that my parents didn't raise me that way. I'm glad my parents raised me that way. Because guess what? I've been to a lot of different church services as an adult. And I've been to a lot of different ones, and I see a lot of messed up stuff that makes no sense to what I've read and understood in the Word of God. It doesn't make sense. And people follow it so easily because it's easy. It's an easy way to live. But this is a difficult way to live. But here's the thing. It's the right way. When you read this, and I'm getting sidetracked here, but when you read this, it brings life to you. It brings light to you. It gives you the ability to live without sin. See, I was in that all my entire life up to 23, 24 years old. I lived that life. And then I got saved. And it's like, what in the world happened? See, it wasn't me that did the work. Yes, I had some part to play in it. I had to be willing to get down and ask God to come in and save me. Right? Something very simple that so many people get hung up on.
Right.
And I said to myself, even when I was a very early Christian, I just want this to be real simple. A real simple man. Just make it simple. Preach it simple. Deliver it to me simple. And I'll go out and live the life. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to do this. I just want to live it. I want to be a laborer. I want to go out in the fields and give people my testimony and give God the glory for it. So anyways, I went to work and there's Chris and he said, hey brother, the Holy Spirit, it came to visit you. And I kind of started to understand it. And so that same day, I remember I had this buddy of mine was a painter and we're real close still. And I go down and I'm so on fire. I'm excited. Right? And I've always wanted, you know, if you're going to be in this walk, and this is for me, but if you're going to walk this walk, there got to be some excitement.
Right.
Because God saves your soul that is going to a place that we really deserve.
Right.
So there should be something deep down inside. This brother talked about the fire here a couple nights ago, and it spoke to me. There's always been kind of something kindling in me, and I don't want to just go to church and sit in the pews and go through the motions. Get up the next day, go to church, do the same thing, go to work, come home. A Christian life is exciting.
That's right.
And really what I think and what I believe deep down inside is, you know what the world really needs? They want to see excitement.
Yeah.
If you're excited about football, they're going to know you love football.
Right.
Now, I don't like sports. It doesn't interest me at all. Right? And for me, you know, I like going to car swap meets. I like old cars. That's kind of my hobby. But that's not my first priority. My first priority is this. This is my first priority, is right here, is understanding the Word of God. Being taught. Again, I was illiterate. Being taught what is right and then measuring up to that. That's what's so great. But here, so anyways, I was going down the paint shop, and I'm skipping around, so thank you for your patience. I'm going to the paint shop, and my buddy Jason Light's his name. And I gotta share this with him. I gotta share this with him. So I go down there, and I go down there, and I'm excited. And I start sharing to him, hey man, I went to church, the old Stegmeyer's. I went to the church last night, and man, I came home, and I don't know what happened, but something's different. And I was telling kind of what happened, and I didn't get the response I was thinking I was gonna get. I kind of got like I was speaking a whole different language.
Right.
And it bothered me. Like, you know, the guy was talking about how our spirits will line up if we have the same spirit. Well, looking back, I realized we had two different spirits.
Right.
And see, that's why it's so important that we stay in the Word of God and that we go to church and we're faithful because God will give us a little more understanding. See, I just got some understanding. I didn't realize that he had a different spirit until somebody recently brought up, hey, you know, when your spirit doesn't align, you'll know.
Right.
Well, I was a new Christian. I didn't understand that. But now today, as an adult, I can look back and say, our spirits didn't align. That's why I felt like I was the foreigner. In reality, I was that foreigner. Right? And so I went to work. And But fast forward a little bit, and I'll backtrack a little. My buddy Jason and I ended up accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he's a painter, and we're friends today. Now, where he attends church, I don't know. But he's told me that he's saved. He's very careful how he talks, and I'm very, very grateful for that. We can make an impact on people's lives. But anyways, I'm going to bring a couple scriptures, but that's kind of my testimony. You know, one of the scriptures I learned as a young man right out of the gate, and most of probably every one of you know, is Proverbs 5 and 6,
yeah.
Right? It's a pretty simple one, but it kept me out of a lot of trouble. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. And I tell you what, you got a lot of your own understanding, and it's all wrong. Until you start lining up with God's word, then you start to realize, whoa, I am way off. I am way off. My ideas of how I think I should live, my ideas of how I should do this, or how I should treat my wife, or how I should raise my children. See, I could teach and raise my children the same way I was taught, but that's contrary to what I understand now. So I can't raise my children the same way I was raised, right? And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And that's tough sometimes. Sometimes we got our own ideas. We want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. But we got to acknowledge the fact that God is there and he's in control. Okay, well, how long do I got?
Oh, you still got a good 20 minutes.
Perfect. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate it. It's not very often do I get up and speak. And once I get past the tears and some fumbling around here a little bit, it's like, you know, you sit up here and I'm looking for John, and I can find John anytime, any day of the week. You get me up front of you and I'm like, where's John? Right? So I prayed over this and I thought about this a lot, and I'm going to try to blaze through it. So one thing that I kind of struggle with, so again, be patient with me, is, this is Matthew I want, is I want to read in public. But I'm going to do it because God wants me to do it. So, let's see, let me get here. Matthew 13 is where I'm headed. And we're going to talk about the three soils. And if you be patient with me, I'm going to go somewhere with it. I'm going to try to. So, verse 1, it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. A great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it up. Some fell on the stony places, and they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had not root, they withered away. Oof, that's sad. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 6-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said, and speaking thou in these parables, and answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Right.
And so I just real quick, I want to talk about that, because it is given unto you. And so who is that? That would be an individual that's saved. And so that's why when I try to witness a lot to people. But when we try to witness, they don't understand what I'm talking about, because that mystery, it's locked up. See, even when I was a child, even if I had not had a born-again experience and I tried to read the word, it wouldn't make sense.
Right.
It was locked up tight. So it had no meaning to me. I could read it, read it, read it, read it, read it, but I wouldn't retain it. I wouldn't understand it. And then the most valuable part, and you hear it probably all the time, especially if you grew up in church. Church, 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 church. But I'm going to tell you, from somebody from the outside coming in, it is church, 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 church. Because in order to understand this, you have to have a pastor.
Right.
We're not smarter than they are.
Right.
We just need somebody that knows the word, that sits there and spends hours and hours and hours to study the word and bring it and feed me. Because my job, I got to go take care of my family. I've got to provide for my family. I need them to teach me. I need to be the man that takes it, eats it all up, and then I go out in the world and I tell them what they taught me.
Right?
Right? We're supposed to pass on. What's it say right there? Ye are the light of the world.
Right.
A city on a hill cannot be hid. Right. Right? And that's actually one of my scriptures I was going to bring, but I'm going to race to it. Why would you want to hide that? Why would you want to be embarrassed by this?
Amen.
True.
It's really difficult as a young person to want to just kind of come out and be more bold, right?
Right.
We're concerned about what people think about us. I was young. I'm an adult. Sometimes we have that. Sometimes it can creep in as an adult. Like, what do they think? Maybe somebody in here is judging me because I'm saying something, or maybe because I might have said something in a different tone, or you know, maybe I'm too tall, or I don't have enough hair. You're judging me. But as you get older, you start to realize that all goes away. And the wonderful thing is, as a Christian, you should love me. And I have to love you.
Right.
And if you really are a Christian, you'll be praying for me as I'm standing here speaking to you. And if it was reversed, I would do the same thing for you. That's the wonderful thing I love about Christians.
Right.
I'm going to skip down to, let's see, verse 13. Bear with me, I'm going here somewhere. 18:23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any of you heareth the word of the king, there we go. Let me start over here. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one. Ooh, here he comes. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. Ooh, the devil's always right there. But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and I'm not sure how to pronounce that, Anon, with joy receive it. I think it says joy.
Yeah.
Let's see, 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation, persecution arise, because of the word, by and by he is offended.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
So if I understand that, and you correct me, but that means some people get offended because the word's pretty powerful.
Right.
And they stay in church for a while, and again, I watched it for a while. I'm a watcher. I like to watch. I like to learn.
Yeah.
But I've seen some people come into church, and you think, man, they're there. And Satan takes them right out the door.
Right.
And the pastor works with him, and he works with him, and he works him.
That's right.
But it's not falling on good ground.
True.
Right? And I think that breaks it up to three different kinds of soil. 22. He also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and careth of this world.
Yeah.
And the deceitful of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And boy, I tell you what, you got to watch that one real, real careful. He that receiveth the seed among the thorns, he is he that heareth the word and careth for this world.
Right.
And the deceitful of riches.
Right.
That riches aren't going to be here forever. You are not taking those to heaven.
Right.
And they are deceitful. You think these people are driving these fancy cars, living in these big homes, and they're, you know, they're rappers or they're singers. You think they got it all put together. You think they're living the life. They're slinging dope and they're doing all these things. That's foolish. God says that's foolishness. It is a picture of sin that's painted to look attractive. It is a lie. It's not real. It's not reality. Let's see, 23. But he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth, which also bringeth forth some hundredfold, and some six and some 30. And that's the kind of ground I wanted to be when I got saved. I didn't understand it. Matthew 9 and verse 37. Again, thank you for your patience. So I like to read 36. This always touched me. It says, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and he scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." I'm going to read that again so I can hear myself here. "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. Then saith unto his disciples," he wasn't talking to anybody, he was talking to disciples, "The harvest truly is pleasant, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And so I'm going to go somewhere. I got a couple more scriptures. John 4:35. John 4:35. Okay. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, ready to harvest." Let's go to Matthew 13:38. Matthew 13:38. I'll read 37. "He answered and said unto him, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." And so let's talk about this field. "The field is the world, and the seeds are the children of the kingdom." And then let's go to Matthew 5:13. So the Beatitudes are before that. 5:13, this is your scripture up here, very close to it. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is theirs good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do man light a candle and put it underneath a bushel, but on the candlestick it is given light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So I got a song that I'm going to read. I don't sing, so I was going to ask somebody to sing it, but I'm going to read the lyrics of it, but I'll finish this thought in my mind here. One thing that I have endeavored to do as a Christian is witness to people. I think that it's important as a Christian to be excited about what God has done for you. Yeah. Don't think it's okay to basically light that candle and put it underneath here, because this candle under here doesn't do anything. I think it's important. Let me back up and say this. If you're living right and you're doing what you're supposed to do, you should have power with God.
Yeah.
Right. And when you have power with God, it's not as difficult to go witness to people at work, school. Maybe you are a young person and your parents aren't saved and you're on your own. It's not difficult. Maybe there is some difficulties at home, right? Because you don't have the say of where you can go and when you can go. But there has to be and needs to be some boldness about being a Christian. And the world we live in, I think it's a great time to be that light.
We live in a very dark, dreamy world. It's dark. And people are sad. And they're lonely. And they're looking for a way out. See, again, I was a young boy, and no one invited me to church. No one invited me to church. Why? Were they afraid? Were they afraid to ask me? I probably would have went. And so we have a massive responsibility as Christians to be that light. The world does not have any hope unless we are the light.
Amen.
And so every time, and I want to share a couple stories at work. I was recently a body man, and I was moved up to a manager about 3 years ago, and I was afraid. I had to come out of my comfort zone and be pushed into a management position where I had no training, and I've had to learn along the way. And God has blessed me massively, massively. It's been unreal. It's been unreal. I don't deserve any of it. And there has been temptations that have been put in front of me that are very, very difficult that I have not succumbed to. But I have a crew down there, and one of the men is a Christian. And he came to church with me recently. And we had an altar call. And his birthday happened to be the day that he came to church with me. And I was more excited about him coming to church than I think he was. But come to find out, he was 60 years old, and he goes to church, he reads his Bible, and he's pretty educated. Do you know where he goes to church? He's never experienced an altar call. Never experienced an altar. Everyone here has probably witnessed an altar call.
Right.
I didn't even know what an altar call was 18 years ago. He is 60 years old and never experienced an altar call. If that just gives you a little bit of glimpse of how much people really know. You can have the best head knowledge of the Word of God. You can have it backwards, forward, reversed. And that's important. But if it's not here and here, what do you have? Right? He can quote me scripture after scripture after scripture. And he's sharp. And I'm not judging him. But there's things that I see. There's holes in his life that I notice. And I don't say anything. I'm working with him. I'm trying to be wise. I'm trying to use the Word of God. He'll bring up a scripture. I say, okay, well, what about this one? I don't shove it down his throat because I think it says that if we offend him, it's harder to win a defended city, right?
Right.
So I'm very careful of how I approach him. I have another man that is an unbeliever at work. And we've become very close. And I tell my guys, I love you. I'm not afraid to express my love to people. And I tell him, I love you. And he came to me last word, and he said, Chad, I'm struggling. I said, what's up? What are you talking to? And he's been in church once with me. And I get excited when people come. I'm sorry. It gets me super excited when people come to church. And we should be. We should be excited. And he said, I need some counseling. He didn't say it necessarily in that words, but I knew he did. And I thought, okay, Lord, help me. Here's another chance for me to give him a little bit of understanding, give him a little bit of God's word. And he's doing some things. I tried to give him some counsel a while ago, and he went the opposite way, and he's reaping what he sowed. And I got to kind of stand back, but now he's asking me to kind of help him work through it. Yeah. And but what I guess I'm saying is there is opportunity, but you kind of sometimes, you got to come out of that zone of being comfortable, and you got to kind of take a leap of faith, and you got to ask God to guide you. Because there is a tremendous amount of people that are, one, they're in a religious group and they have no understanding of the truth, and they're just going to church to go to church, and maybe they don't want it. But what about the one, the five, the 200 that do want it?
Right.
Right? Every one of you here is capable of reaching places I could never reach.
Right.
And then beyond that, we have to remember that we are serving a wonderful and large God, and God can reach in areas that you cannot reach. And I have seen it where he will reach areas you couldn't touch. And most of that is the avenue, as our brother's been preaching on prayer. There's avenues you don't know what to do.
Right.
And so what do you do? Let's drive you down to your knees, and you pray about it, and you ask God to help, and then all of a sudden, boom, that door's open. That opportunity comes right in front of you, and what are you going to do?
That's good.
But then let me back up a little bit. Let me back up a little bit. If you don't read this, and I come to you, and I say, hey, I'm lost, and I don't know how to get saved. I'm a 12, 15, 18-year-old. I'm in school. And I say, hey, you go to church, right? And I was watching this TV show, and they're talking about getting saved. How do I get saved? Well, if you're not reading the Word of God, inside it's going to kind of eat at you, especially if you know you should be. Right. It kind of eats away at you, right? Because as a Christian, there's a time where I really struggled to read. I thought, man, here I am. I'm dyslexic. I don't like to read. I want to work with my hands. But then there was a day where it's like, okay, if I don't read, I'm going to starve myself, and then I'm just going to end up going to church. And that was something I told myself as a young Christian. I don't want to just go to church. I don't want to just go to church. I want to have a personal relationship with God. Because at the end of my life, none of you here will stand in front of God with me. And so when I boil all that down and realize it's just me and Him, I need to read the Word of God. I need to know enough Scripture, or as much as I can possibly get in my little head. I don't have a lot of real estate there, but as much as I can get on the real estate that I do have, I need to read it, because the men at work, they might need me to have prayer with them. What if one of them wanted to get saved, and I'm at work, and we're working. I got business to run, but I've always got time to talk to them about God's Word. Yeah. How do they get saved if I can't give them the direction? And how? Hey, we can go to the third chapter of John, or we can go there, or we can go to this chapter. What good is this going to do? What good is it for me to come to church and fill a seat if I'm not going to read the Word and put it into practice? Right? We've got to put this thing in practice.
Right.
And I'm not here to scold any of you. I'm here to encourage you.
Good.
That's my gift. My gift is to try to encourage as many people as possible.
Good.
That's what God wants me to do. I don't preach the Word. I go out, I just want to live it. That's all I want to do. I want to live a peaceful and quiet life. I want to raise 5 children. Hopefully they'll fear God and they'll live the life, and my wife will follow in my footsteps, and my father will follow in my footsteps, and my brother will follow in my footsteps, and these people will watch my life, and they won't be able to say, oh, there's a hole there. Oh, we found another spot over here. Oh, he talks about holiness, but he doesn't live the life, right? I don't want them to see any of that. I want to live the Christian life. I want to know, what is a Christian look like, right?
Yeah.
Well, what Christian looks like? Jesus.
Right.
That's our example.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to get back to it. So we're talking about the three soils. Sorry, I'm skipping all over the place, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm going to read this. It says, my house is full, but my field is empty. And this song came to me, and I've heard our men at home sing this song. And I have to tell you what, every time I hear this, I got a couple songs they sing that just, it makes that fire light even hotter.
Right.
And it gets me excited, because this is what it's all about, right, is sharing the gospel.
Amen.
There is a peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on the table, and no one turned away. Woo! What a thought, right? There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by. But hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? Who will go and spread the gospel? Who will talk to those you go to school with?
Right.
Who will live a holy life?
Good.
It seems my children all want to stay around the table. Could get pretty easy, couldn't it? Sitting around the table. Right. Don't have to go and do any work. We'll just come, sit down, fill up pews. Maybe never testify. Maybe we'll read a scripture here and there. But no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. Push away from the table.
Good.
Push away from the easiness of it.
Good.
Look through the window pane. And I thought, window pane. Now, we all know what a window pane is, but I want to go a little bit deeper. What do you look through? Your eyes.
Good.
Right? We're looking through our eyes. Push away from the table. Look through the window pane or our eyes. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain.
Good.
That's the people. That's the people we're supposed to go out and witness to, right? But the reapers, where are they? The question mark. They're in the house. Ah, can't the children hear? The father sadly says. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. And so with that, I got a closing scripture I want to read.
And maybe I'll say a couple little more things and I'll be done. I appreciate it again. Thank you for your patience. James 1, 22. And again, I am not here to hurt anybody. I'm here just to try to encourage you.
Right.
You, there's a lot of young people, and many are in school, and you get a chance to witness to somebody. Take a step of faith. James 1:22. Let's see if I can find it here. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholden in a natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what manner man he is. So in other words, you can see yourself in the way you look, but as soon as you step away, you forget.
Right.
Forget, oh, what did I look like?
Right?
And so with that, we need to be doers. Not
right.
just talkers.
Right.
Lots of people want to talk about it and this, that, and the other thing, but we have a responsibility to be a doer. So with that, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your patience. God is good, and I appreciate each one. Thank you again for every one of you that have worked so we could come from Oregon down to Ohio, and you guys have been awesome. You guys have cleared the trays, from cleaning the bathrooms to sweeping floors to putting up chairs and mopping floors. We know what that's like. This is a lot larger, but we know what that's like in Canby, right? We have camp meeting. We got to get down there. We got to get dirty. We got the place cleaned up, right? It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you guys have a lot of people to feed, too, which is awesome. But again, I appreciate each one of you. I appreciate the hard work that's been into this camp. It's been awesome. I've learned a lot. I appreciate each one of you guys' patience.
Yeah. Amen.
As he taught, he started off with his personal testimony, and he started with the fact that God was talking to him at age 8. And I don't think we realize how young we are when God starts talking to us. Many of us were raised in the church. We grew up with it. He was 8, and he wasn't in the church, and he was already having questions, but who was there to talk to him?
Right.
And I think sometimes we go to school, and we're like, well, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. I do that. I'm in public school. And he said he was invited to church once. But then he also said that when he was working at the body shop, he said that he didn't invite him once before he came. They had invited him multiple times, and then he came. So do not stop. If God is telling you to work with one soul, keep pressing.
Right.
Because it may be that they just didn't want to do it that day, or they weren't able to do it that day. But God has a plan for them.
Right.
And if he's telling you to do it, he has a reason.
Amen.
He said nothing's worth it if we don't put it in practice. So we've all heard to witness, but we have to put it in practice. We all go back to school. School's starting soon. Everybody goes back to work Monday. I'm assuming most of you anyways. Put it in practice. Don't let it leave you. Like Brother Nate said last night, we have to take what he's given us. We have to keep thinking about it, and we have to use it.
Right.
Youth